Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing any more, but to be cast out and to be trodden on by men. You are the light of the world. A city seated on a mountain cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass of the law till all be fulfilled. He therefore that shall break one of these least commandments and shall so teach men shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." The words of today's Holy Gospel. But he that shall do and teach shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Truly, St. John of the Cross was a great saint, a doctor of the church, mystical theology, and he wrote many wonderful treatises. And we can follow his spirituality as absolutely true. One thing the Lord asked him, "John, what would you want me to do for you?" And John of the Cross says, "Lord, that I may suffer and be despised for you." My dear friends, those are very noble words. How many of us could say that? "Lord, that I may suffer and be despised for you." As Jesus was suffered and despised, we need to imitate him. So you might want to pray on that and ask for that grace. Be willing to suffer, because that's the earmark of a great Catholic. "Blessed are you when men reproach you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, your reward is great in heaven." In some places it says very great in heaven. So if you suffer and to be despised for Jesus' sake, you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Now the last two Saturdays we've been talking about the souls in purgatory. The first one I talked about the traditional teachings of the souls in purgatory. Then I talked about, last week, a particular treatise written by a woman who received messages and had insight into the souls in purgatory, was able to visit there somehow or other. And her little treatise is called Journey into Purgatory, Insight into the Sufferings of Purgatory by Louise D'Angelo. It's not De Fide, but I think it's pretty close, and there's a lot of good points that are here. And one of the major theme is that when we die, we have a solid crust of self-love and pride about us. And that needs to be burnt away in purgatory, because nothing defiled can enter heaven. And we need to love God more than anything else, love God more than ourselves. On earth, we didn't learn that too well, so we have to go to purgatory because we had too much self-love and pride, and we have to that has to be removed. She used the analogy of a hard core of crust of self-love that needs to be burned away. And today I'll read a few of her passages. I don't want to repeat too much, but I do think that some of the things she says here are quite good, and therefore I'll read them to you. All right. First of all, that there are souls in purgatory for centuries, centuries, centuries of suffering in purgatory and the cloud of justice over them. Many of these souls have been suffering in this way for centuries of earth time. Sometimes there is only a tiny, tiny spark of love for God in their hearts, which is covered by layer after layer of hard crusts of self-love, sin, and selfishness. And it takes centuries to melt away these layers, especially because they have so little or no help except All Souls on All Souls Day from people on earth. I was amazed to discover priests and nuns in this group, also saintly people who were loved on earth, but who actually deceived people and were far from being saintly. The punishment for these people is extremely hard and long. They should have known better while they lived. Remember what the Lord said, to whom has been given much, much is expected. Right? As I told you last week, there was a revelation to one of the saints, and she was told that one of the popes in the mid-13th century was going to be in purgatory till the end of time. And he was a good pope. All right? They should have known better. That does, of course, that doesn't go, that goes without saying that not everybody's in purgatory for centuries. I don't want to give you that idea, but there's some, right? They should have known better while they live, but their pride was so great, they deceived many people. They were honored on earth, and now this honor becomes their greatest torture. It burns at their self-love like flames of fire, and they constantly repeat, honor for God alone. Not me, God alone. Oh, why honor for me? It belongs to God alone. Remember what St. Francis said? My God and my all. My God and my all. Deus meus, my God, et and my all. Mea omnia, my God and my all. Deus meus et omnia. It belongs to God alone. Here upon these souls, in the darkest part of purgatory, can be seen the justice of God more so than in any parts of purgatory. Remember what we told you last week? Justice and mercy shall kiss. All right? Purgatory has God's justice because you need to suffer for your sins that you've done, the pride that we're talking about right now. But then mercy. God will give us mercy. Maybe we could have merited hell. So that's a mercy. So as I told you also last week, the souls in purgatory are not unhappy. They're very happy because they save their souls. They tell you, I could have been in hell for all eternity, right? And maybe some of them are saying, I deserved hell. But God's mercy, justice and mercy kiss in purgatory. The justice of God acts like a dark cloud, which makes this part of purgatory filled with darkness. These sinners who thought that they could get away without any punishment, what their sins caused, are now fully aware of the justice of God. They learn that sin does reap punishment, and what they thought was freedom from punishment was in reality justice, which they now suffer so greatly. God is not a fool, and his justice wins, even when people try to make him into a fool who they think can do nothing to them. This cloud of justice is so thick over these souls that even prayers said for a certain soul in this section may not always help that soul. God can deprive these souls of such help and give it to other souls. Then these souls are made to know that justice has deprived them from this relief. However, instead of being discouraged, the souls praise God louder and thank him for his wisdom and are happy because other souls benefit from their prayers, which were meant for them. Christ not only allowed me to see purgatory in the way which I described, he also allowed individual souls to converse with me about their state and condition in purgatory. One was a young woman, the blessings of a youthful death. Now, we always say it's a crime, it's sad that somebody dies when they're young, but there's lots of different sides to that story of dying when you're young, all right? So this is one little aspect of it, not complete, but it's one soul who died when she was young. One soul was a young girl who was beautiful in life. My condition in purgatory is very bad, she said, but it would have been much worse if I had lived longer. My family and my friends were filled with grief when I died so young. They said that I had enjoyed so little of life, but I must thank God for taking me so young. Otherwise, I would have committed horrible sins and I would be in the darkest part of purgatory. It was His love and mercy for me that made my death come when I was so young. He knew where I was heading. My family and friends did not know what I planned. God knew, and He stopped such dreadful plans by my death. My death came at a moment of repentance, when suddenly I said, I really do not want to hurt God in this way. I used to love Him so much when I was a child. I wanted to be a nun. I think I love God yet. Why am I planning such dreadful life for myself? Please, God, help me to do what is right. She continued, now in purgatory I am very happy, in spite of the torments, for I have a nun who died shortly before I did, who went right to heaven to comfort me. I have been assured of a quick purification, because my love for God was very deep before I allowed the plans to form in my mind. Another soul came to me and said, as you can see, the crust around my love for God is very thin. She was beautiful, even though not yet completely purified. I was a nun on earth, and I dearly loved God and also little children. God is very generous to souls who love little children and try to help them. My torments come because I ignored certain acts of charity. I was too tired to be bothered. A soul was almost lost because of my neglect. For what I must suffer here in purgatory, however, I am able to help souls now by keeping temptation away from them. And the good Lord will allow me to help them more after I enter heaven, which I will be there shortly. Another soul said to me, if people on earth could only see the purgatory they are building up for themselves, they would pray and do penance. After my death, I was amazed to discover how truly small my love for God was on earth, and I thought I had loved Him so greatly, and to find out how much punishment even a tiny fault deserves. My greatest torment comes from because of my longing to give God so much love and to remember how unconcerned I was about my faults and little sins, even though I did avoid mortal sin. The hard crust is around my love for God. It came not from mortal sins, but from venial sins and faults, which I could have overcome, but which I neglected because I always said, I live a good life. I don't hurt anybody. What sins do I have? None. Now I fully realize what a mistake that was. I also fully realize why saints did so much penance and so many acts of charity to keep from building up the hard crust of their love for God, as I mentioned about John the Cross. All right? I used to think that penance was only for a great sinner, and I did not have to do penance because I did not consider myself a great sinner. What a mistake that was. Now I am suffering torments because I know not that even my tiny faults hurt the good God so much. I was ashamed to face Him when I saw how my soul was dotted with little black spots, which I had put there by my faults and my lack of penance. Remember what St. Paul tells us about with no spot or wrinkle on us if we want to get to heaven. Also, a lot of people don't see this or don't understand it. The just man falls 7 times a day, the scriptures tell us. So, do you consider yourself a just man? Yes, I do. Well, then you fall 7 times a day. Yeah, well, you know, think about yourself, all the times you're impatient, all the times you have bad thoughts about people, rash judgments, yeah? All the times you get angry, all right, impatience, no kindness, you fall 7 times a day. That's a lot of spots. After a week, that's 50 spots. I don't know how many wrinkles, but certainly spots, all right? Every idle word, another soul appeared to me and said, the punishment due to my sins is like a chain around my neck. But how I love and welcome this chain, and how I need it, because it reminds me of how I neglected God and how little I loved him when I was on earth. Now I want to suffer for this neglect. When I was on earth, I was a very famous and wealthy person. What saved my soul was my charity to my church. For I did love God, but what built my place in purgatory was my love for soft garments, which only the wealthy could afford. I insisted on soft collars around my neck. I was vain and proud, and I neglected to help others less fortunate than myself. One day, when someone asked me for my help, I said, "The only help I will give you is a heavy chain around your neck." The person left crying. But I thought I had the right to treat people like that because I had wealth and power. Now this remark burns at my soul. I feel this heavy chain around my neck and suffer so because I still hear the weeping of that poor person who begged me for help. But there is joy in my soul because God remembered my help to his church and allowed me time to save my soul. Gladly would I wear this chain for all eternity because I know I deserve it. Now, the last thing I want to mention is the souls in purgatory, how they will pray for all those who helped them in life. There are many souls in purgatory who were saved by prayers of others. These people prayed for sinners, and souls were saved. This is a comfort for me to know, because every day I pray for and do penance to help save souls. One of these souls whom I saved in this way appeared to me and said, "Dearest child of love, for all eternity and many more will be your servants because you and you alone saved me. My gratitude extends out not only to God, but also to you. Here I am, empty of all spiritual treasures, yet possessing the greatest treasure of all, my salvation, because of you, your love and your prayers. Look at me buried beneath the crust of my self-love. But oh joy, here I find such peace as I think of how much I deserved hell, yet I was saved. So willing am I to help to accept the torments of purgatory that knowing I will be here a long, long time causes me joy, not despair. There is only joy in purgatory, not despair. I am saved, and I can thank God and you for all eternity." Another soul appeared to me and said, "Charity is never truer than when it extends to suffering here in purgatory. God will greatly reward anyone who has a deep love for us and who helps us by their prayers or good deeds. It is a delight of the angels to come running to us with news that someone on earth is helping chisel away the hard crust of our self-will, and this way taking away a great deal of the punishment due to our souls. How we pray for these people, and God in his goodness hears our prayers and sends added graces and favors to these people. Please do not stop praying for us. We shall not be for all eternity forget your love and charity. Please pray for and love the holy souls in purgatory, and they in turn will pray for and love you. Certainly that's a wonderful teaching. If you save souls, as Our Lady asked us to do, pray and sacrifice for many souls who go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them, these souls will be very grateful. I tell a lot of people who have difficult marriages with difficult spouses that if they pray for their spouse and save his soul, that that spouse will be like a little puppy dog walking around saying, "This is my wife. She saved me. I would have gone to hell, but this wonderful woman saved me." And he'll be praising you for all eternity. So that's something to look forward to. Right now, as St. Paul tells us, we see through a glass darkly. We don't see right in this world. Our eyes are clouded and our mind is confused and so forth. But in purgatory and in heaven, we will see things much more clearly. So let us live for eternity and let us do more and more, and let us not forget that we build up a crust of self-love every time we think of ourselves and are selfish and proud. So let us do a little more sacrificing for others, and then our purgatory will be very, very less. And let us pray as Our Lady asked at Fatima. Most important, pray and sacrifice for many souls, many, many, many souls who go to hell for all eternity because no one prays and sacrifices for them. So I ask people to pray a rosary morning, noon, and night. It's nice to say a decade, but a decade is only a decade. A decade a day, my dear friends, that's not enough, all right? We got to do more. A rosary morning, noon, and night for the poor souls. And in this world, who will go to hell, and also for the poor souls in purgatory to get them to heaven. May the Lord bless you.